to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. This is Tom Price, and it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And to greet you, as always, in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. The way I said that, you'd think this is the first time that I ever did, but I've been saying that for a long time. And what a joy it is to be able to say that and to know, friend, that you're meeting with me and you're sharing this time with me because you have chosen to. And I hope and pray that our time together will be a blessing. I pray that God will be glorified. Pray that you'll be edified. Pray that we all might be blessed so that we might be stirred up to do the work that God has called us to do. It's exciting days that we're living in, is it not? Amazing days, friend. I believe we're living in the last days, the days when Jesus is going to step out on the cloud, so to speak, step out of the air with the shout, the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and call his people home, saying, come up hither. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? We're looking for that. We're believing in that. And all, friend, we need to be ready. We need to be ready. I've turned my Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. We're going to read a couple of verses of scripture from that passage and share with you the message, I believe, the best that I can discern, the best I can figure out what the Lord has laid on my heart. And I trust and pray that it will be a blessing to you. But before I do that, Deb's got a song. The title of it is Get Ready, one of my favorites. Friend, if you aren't ready for the coming of Christ, you need to get ready today. I don't know when he's coming, but I'll tell you what I do know. He is coming. And look, friend, you need to do just exactly what Debbie says in this song, because she says,
get ready for the trumpet, get ready for the sound. When Jesus calls us, we'll not be around. Now it could be tomorrow, but it could be today. So get ready for trumpet when he calls us away. I have heard the story about Jesus and his love, how he died on Calvary so that we could have a home above. I do not understand it, yet I do. So get ready for the trumpets, get ready for the sound. When Jesus calls us, we'll not be around. Now it could be tomorrow, but it could be today. So get ready for the trumpets.
I'm looking for him. Thank God. I know by the grace of God I'm ready for him. And we know, friend, listen, that he's coming. Can't be long. According to the word of God, there's nothing that needs to be fulfilled prophetically, friend, to keep Jesus from coming. The only thing that holds him back, as far as I can understand, and most Bible people, most even prophetic Bible people, every scholar that would talk to you, you know what they'll say? They'll say, look, the only thing that's keeping Jesus back is his long suffering because he's not willing that any should perish. It's a strange day we're living in, friend. I've never seen anything like it. I'm 69 years old. I lived through the decade of the 60s, and I believe that decade up to this point was the worst decade that America ever had. I mean, to tell you, we planted seed. We made decisions. We did things. We even said in that decade that God is dead. Well, I was upset about that. I belong to his family. I'm his child. Nobody told me, but guess what? He's alive and well. He's never even been sick, let alone dead. Isn't that amazing? But in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, I'm going to pick up a verse of scripture that's familiar to Bible readers. I'm going to reach in and take something out and preach a message to you. This 24th chapter of the Matthew, as you Bible readers know, is a part of the Mount Olive Discourse. It's an answer to three questions Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, the beginning of this chapter, in verse 3, when they sat upon the Mount of Olives. Jesus had told them that, look, now, you're talking about that temple, you're talking about that great edifice. I tell you, there's a day coming when not one stone of it will be left upon another. The disciples said, well, can you do us a favor? Jesus said, what's that? Tell us, number one, when shall these things be? What shall be the signs of thy coming to the end of the world? Jesus answered the first question according to Luke in chapter 17, I believe it is, of his writing, or chapter 21, I can't remember right now. And then in chapter 24, he answers the second and the third, what shall be the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now listen, Jesus tells us many things. Jesus tells us just before the verses of scripture that I'm going to read in your presence, in your hearing this morning, talks about the parable of the fig tree. Listen, friend, it's a picture of Israel. It's a picture of them blooming and coming back to being and finding its place as a nation, their place as a nation on the global stage, and they have done that. They've not come back in fulfillment of Ezekiel 37 yet, but Ezekiel 37, as I understand it, is a process. There it comes through several stages, and friend, look, we can know and can proclaim that the bones of that nation have come together and sin user upon it. They just simply don't have the Spirit of God. But in chapter 24, that talks about the events related to the second coming of Christ. Friend, listen to what the Word of God said. As the days of Noah were, so shall it be also in so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now watch this. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Watch this in verse 24. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. He said in verse 43 and 44, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, and here's the verse I'm going to preach for from. This is the verse that has the phrase that's been laid on my heart this morning. Therefore, be also ready. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. The Son of Man cometh. Now look, I'm going to talk to you today a little while about the think not generation. The think not generation. I believe we're living in that generation. I believe according to the Word of God, according to what I see, according to what is going on in this world around us, friend, we're living in that think not generation. This passage that I read to you, I want to preach out of some time on the, I'm going to talk on the not passage. That, I mean, not, would not, knew not, think not, wanted not. I mean, to tell you, they look not, but that's another message for another day. But look, I want you to notice the context and where this is found. The context of this passage, the context of this statement that Jesus made when he said, for the Son of Man is going to come in an hour and a time that you think not. And the reason I'm talking about the think not generation, I believe this generation, friend, identifies with that generation. Now look, let me say some things. And I want you to think about this with me contextually. It's not that this generation doesn't think. It's not that this generation isn't thinking about many things. Oh, it's thinking about wicked things. And I'll mention that in my message. It's thinking like the days of Noah. The imagination of the heart was continually evil. Look, there are people that are working on quantum physics. I can't even say it right, let alone explain to you what it is. I mean, there are people that are creating amazing things. I mean, they're putting people, on the moon. They're doing great exploration, in space as well as in the seas. I mean, to tell you, people have invented many, many things. People are thinking without a doubt. People are planning. I'm not talking about people having no thought. I'm not talking about people not using that ability that God has given to man. Out of all of His creatures, God has given to man the ability to understand that He exists, an understanding of Himself. In fact, some scholar some time ago said there, he said, "I think, therefore I am," to have personal awareness of our own purpose, to be able to think, to be able to determine our own destiny, to be able to determine, friend, what we will do. I'm not talking about that kind of thinking. We think about things all the time. We think about this and that, and I'll get it in the message in just a little bit. But friend, listen, we're living in a think not generation, in a think not time, and I'm going to try my best, friend, to explain this. This generation thinks, but oh look, friend, it's not very deep thinking about the things of God. I mean, in these last days, friend, it's not conducive to thinking. We're not to slow down. We're not to get in a quiet place. We're not to meditate. We're not to think about those things that to deal with eternal issues. You know, we're living in a time when it's not conducive to thinking. I mean, because there's so much noise. I mean, to tell you, there's noise everywhere. It's coming from so many places. I mean, it's amazing. You go in a doctor's office and there's TVs, music. You go into an eatery and there's music and TVs all around. I mean, to tell you, get in your car, you can put in a USB, you can plug in and play your playlist, you can get radio, you can get TV, you can get internet, just about anything you want. You go home, what kind of media sources do you have? You have laptops, flat tops, you have TVs, you have internet, you have series, you've got 24/7 noise. And you know what the Word of God says? Be still and know that I'm God. And that's the thing. The devil knows if we quieten down. The devil knows if we slow down. The devil knows if we sit down. Be still and know that I'm God. We'll think about the eternal things. We'll think about eternity. We'll think about the issues of the world to come and where we're going with that. But I'll tell you what, who wants quiet time? Who wants time to sit down and reflect? Who wants time to meditate, to be still, and to listen for that still, small voice that deals with us about things that are eternal, things that have grave consequences with us, things, friend, listen, that every man, woman, boy, or girl would be wise to consider. You know, it's one of the greatest privileges that man has ever known is to be able to think, to be able to act and react, to be able to make decisions and determination, to be able to do something other than to act beastly or on instinct, to actually listen, friend, to set off and to consider and to weigh our actions, to weigh our desires and do it in a way that's healthy for us. But I'll tell you what, friend, we're not too motivated to do that. I mean, to tell you, our society isn't helpful with that. It's not conducive to that. Hey, you know what? Let me tell you what this society is doing. It's like Noah days. I mean, it's like Noah days. I mean, the imagination of their heart, like I told you just a little bit earlier, was evil continually. I mean, it's self-centered. Don't you know? I mean, to tell you, we're looking for immediate satisfaction. We want the here and now. Fulfillment of our desires. There's little, if any, ability to wait. Hey, listen, advertising campaigns like, you deserve a break today. Not really, we do not. You know, it's L'Oreal. You're worth it. Well, I don't know about that. Friend, listen, have it your way at Burger King. You understand what I'm trying to communicate? Listen, friend, this is the day and the hour that we live in. This is the mentality that people have. I even hear on the radio an advertisement for a national TV syndication. It's a morning show. I don't watch it. I wouldn't watch it for this very statement. Their advertisement for their show is, we know what you want. We know what you want. You know what? We're living in a day when people and our government and other people don't want you to think. No, we'll tell you what to do. You don't have to think. You don't have to involve yourself in all of that heavy stuff and in that hard stuff. But oh, I'll tell you what a privilege it is to think. And let me tell you some things that we ought to think about. Listen, here's some things that caused me to get on this message. The Lord stirred my heart. I was sitting in meditation in prayer this morning, and yeah, I do it. Nothing in the house but me. Nothing stirring. Listen, no music, no media, nothing. Just me and the Lord, me and the Spirit of God, me and the Word of God begin to speak to my heart. And here's why I say we're living in the not think not generation. In the think not generation. You know what this generation isn't thinking about? It isn't thinking about eternal things. Listen to the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking. They were buying, selling. They were marrying and giving in marriage. They were dealing with the here and the now things. They were dealing with the things that that please them, the things that satisfy them, the things that they want right now in the immediate. But I'll tell you what the devil doesn't want us to do. The devil doesn't want us to think about heaven or hell. The devil doesn't want to think about death and what goes beyond it. The devil doesn't want us to think about judgment. The devil doesn't want us to think about that day that we'll stand before our Creator, Almighty God, and hear Him say, what did you do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Now listen, folks, there's only two things you can do with Him. You can either accept Him as your Savior. You say, preacher, I don't understand Him. I can't explain Him. Well, I don't either, but I understand this, that I'm lost. And I was lost one day, and I heard of a Savior in the name of Jesus, and I was told that if I just put my trust in the work He did at Calvary, when He died there, after they buried Him, He rose out from among the dead, and if I would call on Him, He'd save me. Hey, I'm telling you, friend, it's made all the difference in the world in me. But the devil doesn't want you to think about those things. The devil doesn't want you to think about standing before God and you give an account of the deeds done in this body. I'm telling you, friend, we're living in a think not generation, in a generation that's all about the here and the now, in a generation, friend, that it's a mad rush toward pleasure. It's a mad rush about my self-esteem, about how I feel, about what I want. Hey, you know what? It's that generation. It's that generation that's more concerned about pleasing themselves. They think about pleasing themselves and rather than pleasing God. Isn't that amazing? Boy, I can read about a man. I hear about him by the name of Enoch. And the Bible says Enoch was not, for God took him. And you know why God took him? He had this testimony that he pleased God. Can I tell you, friend, listen, there are multitudes of churches today in this prosperity gospel age and era that, you know what, all they're worried about is themselves. They're not going to church to worship God. They're not going to church to hear from heaven. They're going to church to hear about themselves, how good they are, how their bruised self-esteem can get lifted up, how good they are, what good people they are, what good possibilities they hold, what good that's in them that's always been there that God's just trying to bring out. Hey, hogwash, friend. We're a bunch of depraved sinners on our way to a Christly Christ's endless eternity. And I'm a baby boomer. And listen, friend, I've been injured, I've been hurt, I've been this and I've been that, but you know what I need? More than I need a preacher to tell me how good I am, to boost me up in a psychological state to where I think I'm the best thing in the world, to where I think the world revolves around me, to where I think that I'm the center of the universe. I need to hear what God has to say. I need to hear what God thinks about me. I need to hear from the Word of God to know what I can do to please God. I need to hear from God to know how to put Christ in the midst of my life, to make Him my universe, to make my life revolve around Him rather than me. We've got a generation, friend, that's wanting to please themselves, and they're so busy with self that they cannot think about God. Hey, listen, that sounds like the Laodicean church age to me. This church of the people's choice, church of the people's rule, church of the people who want to have it their way. What about this? We think not about the second coming of Christ. You know what? That demands something. That really does. When we begin to think about the second coming of Christ, it'll change your thinking. It'll cause you to consider whether or not you're ready for Him. Now look, I know people that are scoffers and mockers and say, hey, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. This they're willingly ignorant. The Bible tells us, and I didn't quote that all right, that you'll find in 2 Peter chapter 3. Can I tell you this, friend? Look, we ought to be thinking about the second coming of Christ. The events of this age, the hour that we live in. Hey, listen, friend, what the Word of God has spoken about, the prophecies of the last days. We're in them. We're in perilous times. We're in that time where men shall be lovers of their own self, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Those days that have the men will have a form of godliness, but deny the power of those days when men will be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That day when there'll be false prophets and false teachers that with feigned words will make merchandise of men. That day when, like Jude said, they'd turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Hey, friend, listen, we're trying to change things. We're trying to make them please us. When God has written a book, God has made a plan, God has laid down an order, friend, to please Him and to teach us how to get to the point that we are. We're living in a day, friend, when the old past are mocked and jeered about. We're living in a time when people want some new experience, some new thing. When they get the new thing, they think they're happy. They think that'll satisfy. They think, well, this is it. And you know what? The thing about it is, new things become old things. And then they'll begin to think. They'll not think about the right things. They'll not go to the Word of God. They'll think, what do I want? What do I need? What will make me happy? What new something can we do to spice this up just a little bit? They'll get an experience and they'll say, wow, that's it. Hey, listen, friend, I'll tell you, we don't need new experiences. What we need is the old truths of the Word of God. We need to hold fast that which has been given to us. We need to continue in the faith. We need to stay with the apostles' doctrine. Hey, friend, listen, we don't need all these new gadgets. We need the old past. And listen, they're the good way. It's the right way, according to the book Jeremiah chapter 6. Let me say this. Not just because it's old, but because it's God's ways. Listen, friend, I like new things. I like new experiences. I like all kinds of things. But you know what? I'm going to test everything, all of that, a new way, a new experience of the Word of Almighty God. Hey, friend, we're living in the think not generation. How sad that it is. How sad, friend, when men that could be prepared for eternity are not. It's sad when men that are going out into eternity by the multiplied millions are dying lost and undone because they're in a think not situation, in a think not generation. Hey, listen, friend, you know what we're motivated by in these days? More instant satisfaction. We got instant this. We got microwave. We've got instant breakfast. We've got all of those things, friend, but I'll tell you what, they don't satisfy. What we need is something that'll satisfy the soul. Something that'll meet the desires and the needs of the heart. Something that'll fill that place that God has put within every man, woman, boy, or girl, when He created them. Hey, listen, friend. Listen. The Bible says, watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord doth come. He said, look now, but know this, have the good man watched the thief, knew that he was coming. He would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be also ready. Therefore, be also ready, friend, for the day and an hour that ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Listen, friend, are you thinking about eternity? When's the last time you did? You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. When's the last time, though, you really thought about and said, God, what do you want? And it's more important for you to tell me what you want instead of me telling you what I want. God, you direct me. You guide me. Help me to repent. Help me to get over myself. Help me to get on beyond myself. Help me to see you and not myself. Hey, friend, listen, you the lost and undone. And you think, man, listen, if I can just get that and I can just go there, if I can just become this, it'll satisfy. Hey, listen, you need Jesus in your heart. Look, friend, let's stop. Let's think. Let's get in a quiet place somewhere. Let's ask God to speak to our heart. Be still, he said, Psalm 46:10. And know that I am God. It's better to know him. It's better to know that than anything else. Let's start thinking. Let's invite God into our thoughts. Let's spend some quiet time before the throne and see how it affects us until the next time. May God bless.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.
Share.